peace. It started in the heart. Amen. And I know if you got my heart, then I know you really are in love with me. Amen. Because you don't know if somebody really mean what they're saying. You say, his heart ain't in that. He was at the altar, but his heart wasn't in it. You ain't got that guy's heart. You ain't got her heart. You got to get their heart. God said, I'm not going to get fooled. I'm going to get your heart. And I'm going to dig in there until I get it. I'm going to check it all out. I'm going to examine your heart. I'm going to put you on the table. I'm going to examine you. And I'm going to see the genuineness of your conversion. If you really are saved, I'm going to find out. Because my word is going to do surgery. The surgical knife is going to cut all off in your business and separate this. And it's going to come out with whether you really meant it. When I get through, you will be changed. Because my word is going to, amen, get in your heart. And it's going to do surgery and see if you're really ready. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In thine heart. That God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Make no mistake about it. If you confess with your heart at Jesus as the Lord of your life. Amen. I'm not talking about, amen, a nominal name. I'm not talking about Lord name only. I'm talking about, amen, is he your Lord? Amen. Is he really running things? Is he ruling your life? Is he controlling you? Jesus is who I'm talking about. Is he the one that is the boss? Amen. He's the one in charge. He took the reins of your heart and said, give them to me because you're going to wreck your life. Amen. You ain't got enough sense to run your life. Give your reins of your life to me because I'll take you further. Amen. And one version says, Romans 10:9, this way. It says that if you use your mouth to say Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, have we got a witness? Amen. Amen. You will be saved. Amen. If you use your mouth, amen. Have you ever thought about salvation starting with your mouth? Your mouth confesses what's in your heart. Amen. I mean, the mouth is only the well that pulls, the well that goes down to the bucket of the heart. What comes out of your mouth was in your heart. What you said came out. It didn't go in. Your mouth didn't say it. It came out. It came out of you. And if you confess him as Lord, if you admit it, that yes, he's the ruler of my life. Jesus is Lord. Can everybody shout it? The Bible says that you can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:3. I didn't get a chance to get that in. I didn't get back to Friday. But the thing is that late. And he says that if you confess, you can't even say Jesus is Lord in 1 Corinthians 12:3 without the Holy Spirit. So you got to have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Somebody said, I want to be a Christian, but it's important where I start at. In my heart. In my heart. Don't come up here. Amen. In my heart. Oh, I want. See, some folk got religion in their feet, but they didn't got it in their heart. Have we got a witness? Your hands don't need to go up until it gets in you. Come from your heart. Yes. It's got to come. It got to start off in the right place. Amen. It's the heart. Amen. And how do you know that Jesus is in your heart? Because when you got saved, he gave you his spirit. Amen. You see, you're not waiting to get to heaven to shout. Amen. This thing done already got started. Amen. We already have the down payment, don't we? The earnest or the down payment, that word translated means God, who also has given us the earnest of his spirit. The down payment is the spirit. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. How do I know I'm saved? Because I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is evidence of your salvation. You already should have the Holy Spirit right now. He's already in there. Somebody ought to be around you and know that the Holy Spirit is in you. They can sense that that Jesus is on board. He said, God has given us the earnest of his Spirit. He's already deposited it in my heart. And God has placed it in my heart. Amen. And you see, before Jesus rose, he didn't live in folks' heart. Amen. That had to happen later. Amen. Jesus Christ, Christianity, the only place where God came to live in a person. Amen. But he dwelt in the tabernacle, and he hovered over the mercy seat. But Jesus says, well, let me let Jesus tell you. He says, when those people asked Jesus, Jesus told him that if any man thirst, let him come unto me if you're thirsty. Amen. And then he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. If you're saved, out of your belly. Amen. That really means out of your being, out of your mouth. Because I got living water in me. And how does it flow out of my mouth? When I share the gospel. That's living water. That'll give life to somebody. All I got to do is tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved. Where'd it come from? Out of my mouth. Where'd that come from? Out of my belly. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I'm like a living eternal water fountain. What comes out of me give life to dead people. And Jesus says, and he said that, but Jesus spake of the Spirit which that the believers on him should receive. For at that time when he was in the flesh, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But because Jesus had not been glorified or risen, he had not yet been glorified. But after he said, now I've got to leave so that the Comforter will come back. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send somebody back. Call the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I've got to go first. If I don't leave, he won't come. Read John 4:14. He talks about the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter get here, and John 6, the 16th chapter of John, amen. He shall guide you to all truth, John 16 and 8. But the truth is that he says that he was not yet given. But now, how many of y'all know he's risen now? And now that he's risen, he has given us the earnest money. Huh? The down payment has already been made on me. He said, I guarantee you this guy going to make it all the way to heaven because I'm going to go ahead and put a deposit on him. I'm going to show you how serious I am about him getting to heaven. I'm going to go ahead and make the deposit. You know how it is when you want to take a house off the market. You know what you do, don't you? You go ahead and put some money down. You let them know how serious you are. And that lets them know that there's more to come. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and seal this. I don't want nobody to get it. I'm going to seal it now. I'm going to claim ownership of it. And you ought to already have the Holy Spirit living in you. This is real. I didn't make this up. The Holy Spirit has to be in us. One version says this same thing this way. It says Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. But later those who believed in Jesus would receive the Spirit. And the Bible tells us that... You know, really, I didn't put it in there, apparently. But, I'll get to it in a minute. But it says right here that, and because ye are sons, God sent forth his Spirit of the Son, whereabout, into your hearts. Amen. Y'all done got tired of this message. Amen. I ain't through with it yet, but he done sent it into the heart. He sent it. God sent it. He sent the Spirit into our hearts. So that we can cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. We have a relationship by adoption. That's positional. We talk about that next week. That's not the same as relational or biological. But positionally, I'm in Christ. And that means that positionally, I've been adopted because that positions me for salvation, although I'm not a Jew. I've been adopted. And positionally, I get all the rights and privileges as if I'm a Jew. Well, why does God want the heart? He wants the heart because the heart is where the problem is. Have I got a witness? Somebody said that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. That's where all the problems are, in the heart. If you fix that heart, you're going to fix that person. If you can dress him up if you want to, but you don't get to his heart. You can put some new shoes on him and do all those things if you want him to change, but you got to get to his heart. God says, I want your heart. I want you to give your heart to Jesus. That is the control center of your life. That's the one who rules and runs things. Jesus says, I'm Lord of your life. I'm in charge. I have your heart. Because the Bible said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why he wants the heart. The heart is deceitful. Ain't nothing worse than the heart. Above all things, your human heart is a nightmare. It's a train wreck going to happen. If your heart get loose in here this morning without the Holy Spirit and you do what's in your heart, you may do some of anything. Some translate the heart is used interchangeably with the mind. Amen. Your mind can run wild and your mind can have you thinking and doing something with everybody and anybody and going and doing anything. Your mind can conjure up some low down, dirty, diabolical, devious activities. Have I got a witness? You think about these folk in jail, and they came up with these weird things about cutting up people and putting them in the trunk and taking them in all these weird, diabolical things that come from out of the pits of hell. All that came out of the human heart because the human heart had fallen. Let me get on. And Jesus had to give you a new heart. He's not going to fool with that one. He's just going to give you a new one. He's going to give you a heart replacement. Have we got a witness? He's going to take that one out. Now, he's going to leave your body and get that later, but he's going to change your heart. Amen. And another version said it this way. The heart is the most deceitful thing there is and desperately wicked. No one can really know how bad it is. Some of the stuff I can think about. If I let my heart, just my mind, imagination just run wild with the flesh, no Holy Spirit, I just think of some weird, idiotic stuff. God says, that's why if I'm going to change people, I got to get their heart. And that's where the change occurs. It's going to start in the heart. Amen. And what happened is you get born twice. You've heard of being born once. But make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to heaven if you're not born again. If you're not born twice, you're not getting in. Heaven is only for born again people. If you're born once physically, you're not going to get in. You got to have another birth. Amen. The Bible said the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell from whence it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's what the Bible said, born of the Spirit. Can everybody say born of the Spirit? Amen. That means I'm born from above. That means I've been born again. Now, notice this verse here. This is really knock your socks off. The Bible says in plain English, in black ink on white paper, read the Bible's lips. Read these words. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You don't have the Spirit, you're not a Christ. You're none of his. He said, you're not mine. All people who are born again, each one has his Spirit. All of them have his Spirit, have the Spirit of God. And if you don't, amen. You see what happens, the Word of God, which is written by the Holy Spirit, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The Word of God, then you have the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves in, and he stays in. Amen. My heart. He moves in and get my heart. And we conclude by looking at the will of God. Amen. You see, when God comes in your heart, you know that you're a different person. Amen. All these people talking about they saved and they're not acting any different. They're not saved. You're a new man if you changed. Have I got a witness? Notice what this verse says. It says that the Lord is nigh them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as are of a to be of a contrite spirit. You ever heard that song? Amen. I didn't sing it. It passed me not, O gentle Savior, kneeling there in deep contrition. That means you're broken. That means you got a repentant heart. That means you, God has broken you down. And I got a contrite spirit, amen. And He's willing to save you. You know, if you're saved, if there was real repentance, that you turn around. Is there a time that you know you turned around? Well, the next verse tells us that. How do you know? Another thing is that you got to be humble. Humble, amen. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child. Now, ain't that something? If I were to pick from the audience someone who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, I would have to go get a little child. Jesus says these folk possess the qualities of a person who is really born again. He said, go get a little. Can you find a little child in your church? And set him in the midst of them. That's what you do, in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become how? As little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. People who are changed are humble. Amen. You ever try to straighten something out with a devil? It ain't going to work. And please don't marry one. Have we got a witness? You got an unsaved relative that you have to come in contact with? Try to fix the problem with them, see what happened. Come back and tell me how it went. It's not going to work out good. But people who are teachable, people who are trainable, people who listen to God, they are really the ones that's changed. Because when Christ comes in your heart, you're so broken over your sin until you're humble. You're not big-headed and strong-willed, hot-headed and prideful and arrogant and conceited. No, you're humble. You come all the way down. That's why some of the most nicest folk you can find are the folk that come out the streets. Amen. We're going to start studying this week about the prostitute, Rahab. How did she get in the first part of the Bible? She was so humbled by what she had lived, such a raggedy life. Until she wasn't coming in church talking about nobody. She said, I ain't got nothing to say. I done it all. And my back is bent and broken over my sin. And I'm so broken over it until I'm humbled. I can't even get my head up. I'm so humbled. I'm so ashamed of my sin. You're not boastful and hard to get along with and arrogant and cantankerous, vituperous, and recalcitrant. You are humble. You. Amen. You don't have the big head. All these folks you got to wrestle with and fight with, that ain't Christ. That ain't Christ. David, when he took a man's wife and killed her husband, the Bible says in Psalm 51:5, he was a born. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. I sure don't need no justice. I need some mercy. Huh? I don't need to get what I deserve. I know I need to be killed. But David says in Psalm 51:10, just create within me a clean heart. Now, if you create something, you got to start with nothing. We may talk about that next week. The world was created. It was not invented. God started with nothing. David said, I don't want you to do anything with this heart. Just give me another heart. Create within me a clean heart. I got dirty. I got off track. Just create within me a clean heart. People who have sinned and are saved are broken by their sin. They don't come into church hard to get along with, hard to work with, hard to get anything out of them. No, you're broken. If anybody knew the history of the people just on these pews, have we got a witness? You wouldn't want that to flash up on this. You don't want no video of everything you've done in your life. You get real humble, don't you? When you think about this, oh, Lord, I ain't got nothing to say to know. That's why you have to be careful, because if you're not careful, you demean yourself because of your own sin and allow other people to run over you because you're not perfect. That still doesn't justify them doing you wrong, because they're accountable to God, not you. Well, the fact of the matter is that you got to become like a little child, don't we? And we see this as not closed. As an example, we see the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an arrogant man, and he was killing. He was a Christian killer. He killed Christians, and one day he was, while he was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, a light shone from heaven, all the way from heaven, and knocked him off of his beast, and he fell on the ground. Have I got a witness? Amen. He went from killing Christians to saving Christians. He became the chief apostle, and when God got through with him, he wrote about 13 letters. When God got through with Paul, he was the chief apostle, and yet he was God's worst enemy. That shows you what change will do. Change. And not only do you repent, and not only are you humble, but then you want to obey God. That's another sign. That's one of the birthmarks of a Christian. I started to call this the birthmarks, spiritual birthmarks. And the thing is that one of the birthmarks is that there's you repent over your sins, and then you're humble like a child. And then the third birthmark is that you are obedient. You're obedient. That's the signs of a person that's born again. I'm going to close. You're obedient. He was trembling. He was blind. And he couldn't see. He done killed all these Christians. He went into homes and pulled Christians out and killed them. Do you believe in Jesus? He killed them. Do you believe in Jesus? He killed them. They knew, and Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. But when God got through with him, he came trembling in astonishment, said, "Lord," and this with a capital L, "what wilt thou have me to do?" Real Christians want to do the will of God. Do you want to do the will of God? That's a sign of your salvation. Persons who want to do the will of God in the world. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. Now I see life in a different perspective. I want to do the will of God. Out with sin, in with salvation. Out with bad, in with good. Out with Satan, in with Jesus. Out with wrong, in with right. Have I got a witness? Out with my old man. And tell your neighbor, you need to get rid of your old man. I preached about that some time ago. Amen, amen, amen. Out with the old man, in with the new man. I got a new man now. He treats me much better than my old man did. My old man got me in trouble. But I got a new man. Anybody know what the new man's name is? Is there anybody that know what the new man's name is? His name, I wish I had a witness. His name is Jesus. And now I got a new way of walking. I got a new way of talking since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change has come into my life. Floods of joy fill my soul like a sea billow roll since Jesus came into my heart. If you want to fix, have I got a witness? Racism. Amen. You're going to have to fix it. You're going to have to start with the heart. If you want to fix greed, you're going to have to start with the heart. If you're going to fix selfishness, you got to start with the heart. If you're going to fix your husband, you got to start with your heart. If you're going to fix your child, you got to start with the heart. Have I got a witness here? If you're going to get, if you don't get the heart, if you want to get changed, then you're going to have to start. It's going to take place in the heart, on the inside. God says, change is what we need. Change. There will be no change unless it happens in the heart. Real change occurs inside, not on the outside. Real change. If you really want change, it's going to have to start on the inside. Because that's where change takes place. Amen. Real change takes place on the inside. If you're going to change people, have you ever tried to change folk? Unless you can get their heart. Have I got a witness? But God is somebody who can get the heart. I'm so glad I've got saved because Jesus came into my heart. Amen. All the folk, amen, they're working on this thing. You can change the laws, but you can't legislate morality. Have I got a witness? You may think you can start some change in Washington, but you can't really start it until it starts in the heart. Have I got a witness? I want to do the will of God. And where does that start? That starts in my heart. Amen. Oh, I want to be a Christian, but the question is, where about? Where do I want to be a Christian? In my heart. I don't care if you sit in church all your life, that won't make you a Christian. You've got to give your heart to Jesus. And he comes in after you hear the word and you are broken over your sins and you're humbled by your sins. You're embarrassed about it. And then you say, Lord, what will you have me to do? God begins to come in and you begin to live. He fixed your hand so you can walk right. Somebody said, I looked at my hand looked new. Come on, musician, I looked at my feet and they did too. Have I got a witness? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into. Now see, the thing about Jesus is he deals with the source of the problem. The jails and the police, they're just dealing with the symptoms. Have I got a witness? You got to go deeper than that. Shout, go deeper. You got to go deeper than that. You got to go all the way down to the human heart. And if God can get his hands on your heart and he does his surgery, you see, he evaluates it. And he said, no, you're not going to fool me. You can fool them folk at church. But you're not going to get no salvation by mistake. You're not going to trick me out of salvation. You're not going to trick me out of salvation.